For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. The victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Wow, I think that's a very challenging reading. Who is the victor over the world? How many of you feel like you're a victor over the world? Are we victors, or is the world winning? Who's winning, the world or the Lord? I think if we have to be honest, to me it's kind of a draw in my own life. But I know the Lord's working on it. And hearing that reading, I was really challenged. It's a difficult reading, isn't it? The Spirit, the water, and the blood testify. We have to open it up and see what our Lord is talking about, because it's so really crucial, I think, is that we all want to know a sense of what's going on. And so our Lord invites us through his Apostle John to see things as they really are. Who indeed is the victor? Many people have tried to gain a victory over the world. We have all kinds of dictators that have come and gone. Remember, Hitler tried to take over the world. Took his own life. Some have been more successful, but they all passed away in the end. Others try to do it with finances. My friend, Mr. Mazdoff, I keep reading about him. It seems that now this is the gentleman that bilked out all those billionaires of all that money. Biggest financial scandal in the last 100 years. Turns out he's hidden money all over the place for his relatives. Money that wasn't his. But he didn't win a victory, because death puts an end to it. And if those relatives are greedy enough to cash it in, death will put an end to them too. They're not winning the victory. Sometimes I think that I win a victory over the world when I cross everything off my to-do list. It happened last year for one day, but it didn't stay very long. Priests have a never-ending to-do list, you know what I mean? There's a really interesting statistic that I was thinking about this week. Do you know in the next 100 years, over 8 billion people will die on this planet? Sounds like an asteroid hits, doesn't it? That's life. Nobody gets out alive. Who wins the victory over the world? It sounds like the world, 8 billion. Us, nothing. Huh? That's the scientific answer. They have nothing to offer us beyond the material world that we see, and nobody can win a victory over it because it always wins in the end. I don't care who you are or how important you think you are, how much money we have or influence or power, it all comes to an end. Who wins the victory? The one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the victor over the world. So let's put on our spiritual glasses that John gives us. They are the eyes of faith, and the lenses are the scriptures. But we have to open them. We have to interpret them. John is difficult to understand. I usually skip that reading when the baptism comes up, but I'm not going to today. We need that victory. John has a very unique perspective on Jesus' coming. He tells us, and we heard this at Christmas, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. He has always been God. Jesus is an eternal being. He exists in your past. He is still there. He exists now in the present where we actually live. And most of all, for this homily, he lives in the future. And Jesus came from the future and entered our world at a specific place. He was born in water. He was baptized in water. And the Holy Spirit, and he died with his blood. And so these three testify, the water, the Spirit, and the blood, that Jesus really became one of us. God became a human being. These three testify to it. And then he rose from the dead. This is the story of our lives too. We are born in water. By baptism we enter the church. Many of us, as babies, and a few fortunate ones were adults or aware when they came in, and they remember it. Born into the church by water, born into eternal life by blood. Those are the two doors. And in between there is our lives. And Christ had a life just like ours between those same two doors. And so Jesus, I see him standing in the future. Jesus calls us from the future. He has one foot in his world and one foot in ours. I say that because he said, "Behold, I'm with you always until the end of time." We often talk about the many ways Christ is still present with us, but not visibly. With his one foot in this world and one foot in the world to come, he calls us, and as soon as we have faith in Jesus, suddenly a door opens in this miserable world that we sometimes miserable world we live in. A door opens. Our Lord is the door, and he invites us already to step across the threshold. You notice John said, "I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal." That was an image from a Jewish wedding feast. John was saying, "I'm the bridegroom, and I am the best man, and Jesus is the bridegroom." And he's waiting right there for the wedding feast that's about to begin, inviting us to come in. And as soon as we see that, our world changes. Suddenly, my own life between my birth and my death and my baptism particularly has meaning. Everything now is looking toward the world to come. We don't live only for this world like those who have no hope. As soon as I see Jesus, my perspective changes. And there's something else. Something my mother told me, I probably mentioned it before, when she was dying, she lost her voice. That seems like it runs in the family, doesn't it? She lost her voice. She had a brain tumor for about 5 months. And then she woke up and started talking, which nearly put me to death. scared me so much. But she said, "I want you to remember that somebody really loved you." That was 25 years ago. And I think our Lord would say the same thing to us. "I want you to remember that somebody really loves you." They're in that door, you know. Once I know I'm loved, I can do anything. When I know where I'm going, I start to get ready for the trip, right? If I know a wonderful trip is coming, I start to get ready. I might want to lose weight or get my clothes all together and start packing. We are not hopeless. So St. John says, "So, how can I tell that I really see the door? How can I tell I have faith? Those who keep his commandments are the ones who have faith. I have to be, in my heart, I want to fulfill the commandments of God." The world has no faith. It has no glasses. It has no, does not want to read the Bible. Is not interested in anything the Lord has to say. He might restrict their freedom. Once they do not see the door, therefore anything goes in this world. This is the only world there is. I better grab all I can, even if it's bilking $50 billion out of people. Didn't God, our Lord, you know, many of the people that caused this financial crisis in this country, I would bet any amount of money that they don't read the Bible. What do you think? Huh? What is their God? Money, greed, power, lust. So our Lord said, "I'll give you a parable that you won't forget." And that's Mr. Mazdoff. Don't put your trust in people because they'll disappoint you. God will not disappoint us. The world tells us human life has no value. Before birth, we can go ahead and experiment with it or kill it. If you get sick and you're old, just die. In between, your life only has meaning as long as you look good, feel good, have money, and everybody likes you. Otherwise, your life is worthless. That's all the world has to offer. The life of empty show, money, lust, it sells us that over and over again because it can't see the door. But our Lord tells us to have faith in him, and he will bring us home. Who indeed is the victor over the world? He who is begotten by God. He who is born again through water and through blood. Not water only, but water and then through blood. He who has faith in Jesus. He is the victor over the world. And we will say who is still standing after 100 years.